This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
A different team with Suggs. 40-point win. Humble in victory.
Oh, man.
They go from getting blown out. Matt Derry in for Ken Carmen, and we're about to go out to the hotline. North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Welcome in Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA Radio. But, Matt, humble in victory after a 40-point dominating win against a team that blew you out twice last year in Orlando. I'm supposed to be humble, Matt?
Talk your trash. Anthony, you got to do it, man. This team's dominant. All right. Dominant.
All right, let's welcome in Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA Radio right now. Now, I was on his show a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, right before the Boston game, and that didn't go so well. And then they added, well, a pretty significant player by the name of DeAndre Hunter. And since then, they have not lost. They have another one of these huge win streaks developing. When are they ever going to lose again? Justin, we're just winning too much right now with the Cleveland Cavs.
Yeah, you are, and they're championship worthy. I mean, you mentioned since the last time they talked, they added DeAndre Hunter, and that's kind of what we said they needed, right? Is they needed some wing length to go up against Boston, who's got a ton of it. They've got two small guards, this Cleveland. We mentioned that. Typically, you don't win a championship that way, but Ty Jerome's a nice step in kind of covering up for that a little bit. I should say DeAndre Hunter's a nice step in cleaning that up a little bit.
All right, so I want to hear, because you're in Boston, and you're certainly somebody that follows the Celtics very closely. We all understand the Celtics are not going all out in this regular season. But with that said, I mean, they find themselves 6 games behind the Cavs. If there were a 7th game in the Eastern Conference Finals, they would have to come into Cleveland to win. What is the confidence level of that Boston community right now, knowing that the Cavs just seem to be getting stronger?
Well, one, I wouldn't say that they're not going all out in like regards to the minutes. Like, you look at the minutes that they're playing their stars in Cleveland compared to what they're playing in Boston. I mean, Joe Mazzulla is really pushing guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown who don't sit, and they play well over 30 minutes a game. Cleveland doesn't do that. So you could say they're not pushing it, but in regards to the toll it's taking on their bodies, I think they are more so than Cleveland. In regards to the confidence level, I think if you probably asked that question maybe 3 weeks ago, there'd be some questions. I don't think there are right now. Now, because as good as Cleveland is, if you look what's going on in Boston, Boston's starting to round into form right now. You're getting guys like Derek White who are playing a lot better. Porzingis has been rolling here as of late. This might be the best basketball that Jason Tatum has ever played in his entire career, especially as a playmaker. So I don't think there's any lack of confidence in Boston right now. I think probably what there is in Boston is the realization that they're going to have to go through a team in Cleveland that they just didn't have to in the Eastern Conference last year.
JT, you look at the addition of DeAndre Hunter. What does that mean for your outlook on the Cavs, and how much better does that make them in the East?
Well, it makes them significantly better because that's the one thing that they were missing was length on the perimeter, a guy that could defend a guy like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and slow him down a little bit. And also, like, Boston had a guy coming off the bench in Peyton Pritchard, who to me was running away with the sixth man of the year, probably still wins it because, one, he's deserving, but two, it's like a narrative thing, and it seems like the media gave it to him maybe a month into the season. But if there's a guy that would be number two on that list, it's probably Hunter. So not only did you get a guy that can defend on the perimeter and give you some length, you got a guy that coming off the bench easily could go bucket for bucket with a guy like Peyton Pritchard. So I've been saying this the last couple of weeks is a lot of people have said like maybe Leon Rose is the executive of the year because he did make the splashy moves with Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns. To me, I would probably look more towards Kobe Altman because they needed something and he got the perfect fit at the deadline.
Boy, it's funny. We're joined by Justin Termini that you could win Executive of the Year just rolling back the same group that had not had much playoff success. And that's exactly what happened. We were in a lot of heated debates about what to do with this team. And I don't think anybody saw Darius Garland not only having an all-star year, but he's been unimpeachable. He's been one of the best point guards in the NBA, and you pair that up with what Ty Jerome, there's almost no drop-off when they go to the bench with Ty Jerome. Could this Cavs team be the team with the small guards in the starting lineup that actually pierces through?
Yeah, so one, like you mentioned, the executive of the year just by standing pat, I think sometimes in the NBA that's something that's hard to do. You look at all these other teams where it's like they just want to fidget with things if there's like even something that's a little bit off. And you look at like Minnesota, that got them in trouble when they went to the conference finals last year and they had to get smart about it. Now, I know that was financially motivated as well, but Phoenix went to the finals, then they won 64 games and they had a young core and they're still like, hey, you know what, let's blow up a team that did that in back-to-back seasons and ship out all these young guys for the shiny toy and Kevin Durant. Doesn't always work out. Like, continuity is a really important thing. Look at how many years it took Boston to get over the hump with essentially the same core of Tatum and Brown, you know, and Al Horford. Now, they did make the Jrue Holiday and Porzingis trades, but the point is they kept those guys together. So I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons they've been successful is the continuity. I think this is a big enough sample size where you could say, like, this team could be the one that gets through with the small guards, especially, again, because they have DeAndre Hunter now. They got two bigs behind him protecting him who are great defensively. Evan Mobley now with the Wembanyama injury, in my book as a voter, is probably the defensive player of the year if I decide to go big. If I decide to go small, I might go Dyson Daniels. They've got a legitimate shot.
You just mentioned Mobley, and yeah, the defense is unreal and the rim protection, but could you see a scenario where he's all NBA second team, third team pretty damn soon?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it this year, especially with some of the, like, and if other forwards that are going up against are like, Kevin Durant, who's just, you know, on a very talented team and they're not winning at all, like, why wouldn't Evan Mobley maybe get a nod over a guy like Kevin Durant? Plus, if you're the defensive player of the year and you're also contributing offensively like he does, I mean, the defense has got to account for something. I think a guy like Durant's on the 27th worst defense in the NBA on a team that's not winning. Meanwhile, Mobley's, you know, the defensive anchor on a top 10 defense that's on the precipice of winning 67, 68 games. I could see a scenario here where he's not going to be first team all NBA, at least for me, because I vote by position, even though they changed that rule and you would go Giannis and Tatum at the forward position. But yeah, you could probably make an argument that he's second or, you know, at the very least third team.
Like Ty Jerome last night, I think he had like 21 points in 20 minutes. He's had a number of these types of games. He's red hot again. And he's actually, if you go by PER for shooting guards in the NBA, he's only behind one player. It's Donovan Mitchell. He's number two in the NBA. What kind of a payday could Ty Jerome be getting? And knowing that the caveat is there aren't a ton of teams with cap space. That's what Cavs fans are praying for, that all the other teams have so little space that Jerome will just have to re-sign with the Cavs. But I'm afraid that he's playing his way into a different strata, that there's no way the Cavs are capped at what they can.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
even offer him.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those Bruce Brown situations from a couple of years ago, right, where Cleveland's capped at what they could give him, and then Bruce Brown was capped at what they gave him in Denver, even though maybe he wanted to stay there. And it could just take, like, one team like Indiana, where they threw $20-plus million at Bruce Brown. You couldn't keep him, but it also doesn't help you keep him when Kenny Atkinson, I saw, is, like, comparing him to Steph Curry the other day, where he's like, he sometimes can give you those Steph Curry minutes, but it's true. He can light things up quickly, you know, and if you have a guy like that that's able to give you 20 points off the bench, you know, in any given game. I mean, it's a consistent thing. Last night, he was amazing again against one of the better defenses in the NBA. Now, granted, as you mentioned, they didn't have Suggs, and they have been a different team without Suggs or Orlando, in fairness to them. His injury seems like it's bigger than that of Banchero and Franz Wagner from earlier the year. But, you know, if he does it in the postseason in a couple of the big spots, then certainly it's going to be hard to keep him. But, again, just like with Bruce Brown in Denver, you'll take it because it could result in a championship if he's doing this.
Could we get a scenario, JT, where Friday night, obviously Boston's hosting the Cavs. It's an ESPN game. Boston's got to play tonight in Detroit. And this is almost like the Pistons' Super Bowl here because they've won seven in a row. Is there a scenario Friday where Celtics might lose and people say, well, it's three games in four nights. Could you see that?
Yeah, I mean, because that happens all the time. There's always going to be excuses. Now, and I also saw where Jaylen Brown last night was dealing with a bruised quad. So clearly, if he doesn't play, then I think that throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into it as well. And we also know, I mean, we've all been covering the league long enough that, you know, you do have different schedules throughout the course of the regular season. That's not going to be something that is the case in the postseason, like where everybody's playing the same exact schedule. But I think we already know what this series kind of looks like. It's the same thing with like a Knicks-Cavs or a Knicks-Celtics series. We know what it looks like. Like if New York goes out there, and I don't know if New York plays Cleveland one more time, but would you guys, if New York happened to beat Cleveland the next time they play, go, oh my God, now I don't feel comfortable about this matchup? I mean, the Celtics, I think, have beat them by at least 13 points in three games this year. Is Boston going to go out there if New York wins the final time they meet and go, oh no, now I'm nervous about this matchup? I think that we didn't learn anything. We're not going to learn anything new about Knicks, Cavs, Knicks, Celtics, and we're not going to learn anything about the Cavs and the Celtics. They played a couple of close games so far this year, and I think that's what it's going to be like in the postseason as well.
Yeah, Justin, I'm with you there. Matt scoffed at it earlier when I brought it up, but I'm wondering if there are going to be any Joe Mazzulla mind games on Friday, especially because they have Denver Nuggets on Sunday. It's a matinee, obviously a national televised game that they're going to want to get up for that. And I almost wonder if, yeah, you'd think, okay, they'd want to get up for it for the Cavs. But right now, you know, they've been kind of in the Cavs' minds. And could this be a situation where they rest guys on Friday because they don't want to give the Cavs confidence going into the postseason with DeAndre Hunter?
I mean, we've seen that with, like, Popovich in the past and stuff like that. Would it be maybe a wise decision? I guess it could be. Here's what I would say about that. Again, not knowing what Jaylen Brown's health's going to be over the course of the next week because he is banged up, is that Jason Tatum, if you, like, follow the way that he just approaches things, he's one of the better stars in the league in regards to, like, he wants to play every single night. He's not one of these guys that is, like, sitting out even lesser games, even though maybe Boston fans would like him to. He's the guy that plays in even the, you know, as he pointed out, like, against Charlotte on the road on a Tuesday night, even if he's a little bit banged up. Like, that's his argument of being, like, in the MVP conversation on the periphery of it, like, first-team All-NBA, is that he might not be as talented as Jokic, Giannis. Jokic, Giannis, I think he's as good as Shai Alexander. But his argument is, like, I play every single night, right? And it's just over the volume of numbers instead of the per-game stuff. So I don't think Boston's the type of team that does that type of thing. And I hope they're not, because for the league's sake, you want to see a big game like that.
You and Eddie Johnson do a great job on the your afternoon show. I know you got to look at all the
don't,
teams.
No, Matt, no, don't do
no,
this with
I
Justin.
Do.
He doesn't even like Eddie.
Afternoon show. Yeah, I do a good job on the afternoon show.
We know Scal and Frank don't like Eddie. We know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of us don't like Eddie, so it's not like, you know, that's going on a limb.
Oh, my gosh. But, like, you look and you see the Cavs' path and what could be a championship run. Who is there anybody in the East? Is it Indiana? Is it any of these other teams that you go, man, they could give the Cavs a run other than Boston?
No, it's just Boston. It's a two-man, like in the Western Conference, There's a bunch of teams that could do it, right? It's pretty simple in the Eastern Conference. It's Boston and Cleveland. And that's the other thing with all this talk about, oh, well, the Western Conference is so much tougher. I think I've talked about this with Tony this year in the past. No, it's not. The tougher conference is the Eastern Conference because there's two high-level championship contenders, whereas Oklahoma City might have to go through more depth in the Western Conference, say in the first round, maybe in the second round. But there's not that like juggernaut that's waiting for him in the conference finals. It's just the Cavs and the Celtics. And to me, like, I'd have to go back and look this up, and maybe I will for the show today, like the pace that they're on, right? If they both continue on this pace, when's the last time that we've had a conference finals when it's been two teams that, you know, say Boston wins like 63, 64 games and Cleveland wins 68, 69? That's going to be one of the better conference finals that we've seen in quite some time.
All right, final question. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Are we living in a world where the Lakers and LeBron James with Luka could actually get to the NBA Finals?
I think they can, which has me ticked off, but as a guy that's, you know, never going to root for LeBron, because, I mean, you tell me, Tony, is this supporting cast that he has in L.A. any worse than the supporting cast that he had in Dallas last year where they went all the way to the NBA Finals?
Right, I mean, and the way that once they get into a playoff series, I think that's where they get even better. Like, that's what I get nervous about now. But I shouldn't say nervous because it would be awesome to have a potential either Cavs-LeBron final or obviously Boston LeBron, but here in Cleveland, I mean, I can't even fathom what 2 weeks would be like with LeBron coming back to Cleveland.
Man. Well, first of all, like, I think it would be more Lakers Celtics than LeBron Celtics, although the LeBron like storyline there with Boston is great as well. But I can tell you, I can kind of imagine it'd be a lot of LeBron like taking credit for what's going on in LA right now, also laying the foundation for what went on in Cleveland. So he'd almost be like, either way, it's about me. Either way, I win. So I already kind of know what it'd be like in a finals against the Cavs and the Lakers.
Justin, we're going to do this again. Cavs just continue to roll. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and hey, listen, Cleveland's one of my favorite cities, especially like that time of year in June, so I'd prefer to be in Boston as a Celtic guy, but either way, both of those cities, Boston and Cleveland, like I consider Cleveland Northeast type of like sports town, I'd love to be out there for a finals.
All right, there he is, Justin Termini on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We thank you for coming out. Plenty to react to there. He sees a world where it could be Cavs versus LeBron, Luka, and the Lakers in the NBA Finals.